only just of assembling together and enjoy friendship and fellowship, but a time to assemble to give our worship and our praise to God as a congregation. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning of the lesson. You're very welcome to follow along. The title of it comes from the scripture that was read to us this morning. The title of it is, Do Return Unto the Lord. The message for God's people when they go away from God. And that certainly can happen. That's evident in the text that's been read to us in our scripture reading this morning. We certainly don't want it to happen, but there will be an occasion, perhaps in your life and mine, when we stumble, we fall, or we falter, we fail. And the idea, what we want to do is just get back up and get back in the right pathway that leads us into God's favor. I'm going to key on verse 3, and you see that in your notes. In 1 Samuel 7, verse 3, Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then, here's the formula or the recipe for return, put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and, three parts to that, serve him only. Then it says, and, so here's the blessing, when you do what God requires, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So we're going to look at the word return, means to revive. If you return, part of that definition means it means you're going to be restored to life. It means to bring or come back into use. Need to put back into the former or proper place where you were. Need to renew. So in other words, if you return, it means you were in a good, at least in our context, you were in a good position, relationship with God, and you left, and now you have to return. It's like going on a vacation or on a trip. You go, you're away from home, and you return. You come back. But we in our lesson this morning want to ask brethren who have gone away to return to the Lord, to the God that you left. Come back to the God that you separated yourself from. So this lesson looks at those three words of if, then, and. And I highlighted those in your notes. So number one, the conditional word if. This is the goal. And this goal, I put it out, is twofold in the text. If you do return to the Lord, that's obviously what we want you to do. Anytime a God's child leaves, oh, we plead and we pray, come back. Come back. Return. So this area is of great difficulty when some brethren don't see themselves away from God. And that's really a possibility. We have a Christian that may leave the fellowship of God, but they don't see them as being away from God. See, in their own eyes, they're thinking, I'm still a pretty good person. In their own eyes, they may reason within themselves, I don't need repentance. In their own imagination, they're saying, I don't need revival. I don't need return. I think I'm still okay. So I want to ask them, put it in your notes. If I were to go to visit them, I would ask them, if you did decide to leave God, what would you do differently than what you're doing now? If you've left the attendance of worship assembly, so you're away from God, and I go visit you and I try to plead with you to come back and worship with the brethren here and involve yourselves in the work of the congregation, Everybody say, well, Brian, I haven't left God. But then I would again put that question to him. But if you decided to leave God, what would you do differently than what you're doing now? You stopped attending. And because you stopped attending, you're not involved in the work of the congregation. Well, you might be, you say, oh, Brian, I'm doing some work. That wasn't my point. You're not involved in the work of the church. As a congregation. congregation, as a fellowship. You've absented yourself from the assembly. By definition, in Hebrews 10, verse 25, you have gone away. Bible definition. I'm not making this up. It's not my opinion. It's not just Preacher Bronson talking. You've gone away. You need to return. The problem is not new, and I put in your notes, among God's people. Moses, 120 years old, just before Israel enters the promised land, gives a warning in Deuteronomy 30, verse 2. Moses said to his people, return. That's our word again. Return unto the Lord thy God. And he gives a recipe or a formula. This is what I want you to do. Because you, I don't know what to do to return. Moses told his people, obey God's voice according to all that I command you this day and to your children with all your heart and soul. Come back with, and put your heart into it. Solomon's prayer, the dedication of the temple. 1 Kings 8. Solomon said, this is God, this is the king. Solomon, if we've sinned. It's interesting. Then he added, and we've sinned perversely. Not just, we have just nothing. Not little things. We've done some horrible things. We've committed wickedness. And so return we unto thee with all our heart and all of our soul. Isaiah gives the same recipe. It's not just a one-time thing of admonishment and encouragement. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he'll have mercy on him, and he'll abundantly pardon. More familiar story is the son in the Bible that we call prodigal. In Luke chapter 15, the son asks for his inheritance from his father, and he takes it and goes away into a far country and literally wastes the substance that he has. He's out there and he realizes he's away from his father's house. He says, I'm tired of being fed with hogs and swine. I'm going to go back home. I'm going to return. And so he said in Luke 15, verse 17, I will arise and return to my father. And I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. In the revelation of Jesus to the angel to the church, John, in Revelation 2, verse 4, to the church at Ephesus, Jesus said, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. What does Jesus say to do? I want you to remember, therefore, from where you have fallen from, and repent, and do the first works. You've left, go back, and do what you were doing in the beginning. We just simply say, there's some of God's people that need to return. And then the second part of that, the goal is with all your heart. Put your heart into your return to service and worship. However, you have this desire to return, but yes, now put some gusto in it. Put some, I want to and I will in it. Then when man came to Jesus, then what's the great commandment? What's the best you can be? Jesus said, this is it. Matthew 22, verse 36. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Put your heart into it. You know, I love God, but wait a minute. Put your heart into it. And with all your soul and with all your mind. It's the first and great commandment. I love God. Look, put your heart into it. That's the goal. Put your heart into it. That's necessary. Follow our heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You tend to follow your heart. So love God your heart. That's the goal. Number two, he gives the recipe or the formula, the conditions. Number one, he says, put away the strange gods. That's an old story, too, with God's people. God's people sometimes chase after some strange gods. And then Jacob ordered his household in Genesis 35. He says the same words. Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Of course, you can't live that way. Joshua challenges Israel. Same words. Joshua 24. Judges, now put away the strange gods which are among you and incline your heart unto the Lord. But Israel didn't always obey, did they? They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Yeah. You know, some of these people wonder, well, Baal, who's Baal? Baal was the sun god of the other nations around them. And some of the time in the land that they lived, there were still those worshippers of Baal. Baal was originally worshipped on high places. It was an idol put up on the top of the mountains. Then the altars began to be built not just on mountaintops, but throughout the country. The worshippers, in 1 Kings 14, I didn't put these in your notes, but in 1 Kings 14, verse 24, the worshippers of Baal committed sodomy. In 1 Kings 19, verse 18, the worshippers of Baal would bow and kiss the image. In Jeremiah 19, verse 5, parents would burn their children on the altar of Baal. You wonder what's wrong with Baal? It's a strange god, isn't it? And yet that's what even the God's people, some of the Israelites, were doing. And then Ashtaroth, another one of their gods of the country, goddess of fertility. It was another image that was made of wood or a trunk of a tree, and it was highly associated with Baal. Many times Baal and Ashtaroth went together. Of course, the question for us is, and Joel obviously, Samuel saying, put away the strange gods, especially this Baal and Ashtaroth worship. And I put in your notes, what strange gods do we need to put away? Perhaps nothing so obvious or wicked as Baal and Ashtaroth. But there are things we need to put away so that we can return to God. It might be your recreation. Is your recreation taking you away from worship and work? Is your laziness? Your home maintenance project? Your sleep? Your decision to forsake the Lord and serve other things? By the way, there's going to be I mentioned sleep. There's going to be a time change on March 8th. I expect you to be here on time.
You could expect.
What a strange God to serve. Sleep. How many days in a week? 7. You can't get up.
If you do get up that late,
can't get up a little bit earlier on one day. What a strange God to serve. Sleep. I bet you out of time, by the time I go to lunch, you'll be home by 1 o'clock, and if you can take a nap. What a strange God to serve when it's time to assemble together. Well, I've got, let me get back to my notes. I got off on that, John. I didn't know. Other things are strange too. Any God that takes you away from robbing God of assembly when it's time for worship with the saints and time for service, anything that you serve other than that is a strange God. Oh, this is number two. Put away the strange God. Number one. Number two, prepare your hearts unto the Lord. There's that heart again. Put your heart into it. In 1 Chronicles 22, verse 19, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. You want to set your heart, anchor it in worship and service. Set your heart, cement it. In seeking, put some effort into it. It's not going to come naturally. Your fleshly man is going to say, oh, I just need to kind of turn over and just, well, I'm on that sleep thing again. days, and I think, oh, I just need to do this over here today. This would be so much more fun, or whatever. Oh, no. The challenge, the biblical challenge is set your heart and to seek the Lord your God. You got to put some guts to it, some determination, some resolution. That's why we one reason for assembly is to exhort one another and encourage to do the things we already know we're supposed to do. This is, and serve Him only. There is but one God to be served. One God. Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him. Deuteronomy 10, verse 20, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, Him shalt thou serve, and to Him thou shalt cleave. He is thy praise, and He is thy God. Deuteronomy 13, verse 4, ye shall walk after the Lord your God, fear Him, keep His commandments, obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him, cleave to Him. Number three, the last one. And so here's the goal. If you do return to the Lord with all of your heart, these are the things I want you to do. Put away the strange God. Prepare your heart just like you would a piece of ground if you're going to grow something in there. Prepare your heart. You prepare that piece of ground. You renovate it. You take out all the bad things, the weeds, and then you add good things to the soil to promote growth. Well, the same thing in your spiritual life. And then serve Him only. And here's the result. He will deliver you. And that's what I want. I want deliverance from the consequences of my sin. I want deliverance, freedom from the slavery that sin commits. Psalm 34, verse 7. I have a list of just a couple things here. These are not in your notes. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord camps round about them that fear Him and delivers them. 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Right, deliverance. We serve a God of deliverance. Daniel 3:17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. And Daniel 6, verse 16. The king said to Daniel, thy God, whom you serve continually, He will deliver you. In Acts 7, verse 10, God was with Joseph and delivered him out of his afflictions. In 2 Peter 2, verse 7, God delivered Lot. 2 Peter 2, verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. See, we serve a God of deliverance. It's worth our service, because that's what we want. So I put a verse in closing in your notes. In Psalm 40, verse 2, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. You see, God is worth hanging on to, and when you depart, He's worth returning to. That's a valuable decision, a valuable choice. When we do our part in return, God will do His part in deliverance. But we have to want to. That's the lesson. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. You're not a member of the New Testament Church. You're not a Christian, one of God's people. Then the recipe is different. Now you need to hear the Word of God and believe it. And then repent of your sins, change your life, and confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And then you can be baptized for remission of sin. And then from that point on, now you'd be as a Christian, you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you're invited not only to become a Christian, but if you've gone away, to return to the friendship and the fellowship of the congregation here. So let's stand together.